Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket at will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Playoff baseball is underway. Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you on the afternoon drive. And, well, today this wacky 16-team playoff is underway in Major League Baseball. Regardless of what you think about it, I mean, I've made my feelings felt over the last couple of weeks about the playoff scenario. It does present kind of a March Madness feel to it. We had baseball start on ABC earlier today. The Astros taking out the Minnesota Twins in Game 1. We had the White Sox getting the best of the Oakland A's, a team that I still think has a great chance of reaching the World Series in Game 1. Right now, Toronto and Tampa Bay. And coming up tonight, we get the Yankees and the Indians. So a lot has taken place already today. Only four games tonight, but we have eight baseball games throughout the day tomorrow. One at 10, then noon, then 2, then 4, then 6, then 8. I mean, they just go throughout the entire day. If you love baseball, if you're a baseball junkie, this has to be the greatest thing ever for you. Typically, it's a quick wild card matchup. Then we move into the divisional rounds, and we're off and rolling at that point. But we literally have baseball all day long, and we'll continue to talk about it throughout the show today. We'll also give an in-depth preview. We'll talk about some of the storylines. We'll talk about some of the big matchups. I'm still fascinated by this Atlanta Braves-Cincinnati Reds series. I think it has all the intangibles being fantastic, and it's the same with the Indians and the Yankees as well. Those are a couple of the series that I look at, and I say, wow, I really don't know what's going to happen in those series. Even this White Sox-A series is pretty interesting, all things considered, especially with the White Sox taking a 1-0 lead over the heavily favored A's. Let's take a look at some of the other headlines circulating throughout the national sports scene, and we will begin with the NFL. The Tennessee Titans and the Minnesota Vikings had to close their facilities today due to a COVID-19 scare. It's the first time that this has happened in the NFL, and you wondered how the NFL would handle something like this. We saw it in baseball. We didn't see it in the NBA. I mean, the bubble worked out, knock on wood. It's worked out perfectly so far for the NBA. But the NFL is planning to continue with a game on Sunday. So here's the story. The Titans had to close their facilities until Saturday after three players and five personnel members tested positive for COVID-19. The three players, DaQuan Jones, Bo Brinkley, Tommy Hudson, they've all been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list, and again, they are the first players to go on a list as such. No decision is yet to be made about the Titans' Sunday game against the Steelers, which is going to happen in Nashville, but the NFL wants to and intends to have that game played. If by some chance they can on Sunday, the contingency plan would be to move it to Monday. Now, the Titans, citing an abundance of caution, issued a statement saying that they halted in-person work Tuesday. The Vikings played the Titans on Sunday. They've also closed the facility indefinitely, though the team said that there were no positive tests through this morning. So it's the first time that the NFL has had to deal with anything of this nature. Hopefully it all works out. We don't miss any games. Everything just continues to move as smoothly as possible. And that would be absolutely fantastic. Those are three of the big stories, rather, happening throughout the national sports scene. Also, if you're a Denver Bronco fan, Brett Rypien is going to be the starting quarterback this Thursday. The Thursday night games have notoriously been, I don't want to say lackluster, but not the best of matchups. I love Thursday night football. Sets the stage for the week. But we get the Broncos and the Jets, And now the Broncos will start their third quarterback in 4 weeks. Brett Rypien will get the start against the New York Jets. Vic Fangio made that announcement earlier today. No NBA, no hockey. The Stanley Cup's been decided. Tampa Bay Lightning are your Stanley Cup champions. And again, some baseball games already complete. Chicago topping the A's 4-1. The Astros topping the Twins 4-1, and right now, no score between Toronto and Tampa Bay. We're going to break for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We are going to talk high school golf. The regular season came to an end yesterday. The Carbon Dinos finishing second overall in Region 12, and sophomore Bodie Salas winning region individually by a lot, by like 24 strokes. Bodie has been that fantastic throughout the golf season. Coach Robbie Edsel will join us over the phone in just a bit. Plus, we'll talk more Major League Baseball. It's all coming up right here on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We're back after this.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
We'll talk high school golf today on the Coach's Corner. Regular season came to an end yesterday as Carbon Emory and the rest of Region 12, they met at Round Valley, site of this year's state championship for the second time this year. And for Carbon, it was a third-place finish, second-place finish overall in the division, and we're going to talk about that right now with head coach Robbie Edsel, who's joining us over the phone. And, Coach, it is always a pleasure to get you on. I appreciate you making time again today. Thank you.
Yep, you bet, Jordan. Always a pleasure.
Well, Coach, let's start by talking about the region meet, the region championship meet, that is. A little bit odd. Play on a Thursday last week. You get Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, and then you're back at it on Monday. So not a whole lot of time for these boys to get situated and kind of recalibrate things. You guys had to head out yesterday, and, well, it was your second time visiting Grand Valley.
Yeah, it definitely was a quick turnaround. Big stretch for the boys. We played in Emory last week. It plays completely differently compared to Round Valley up there in Morgan. So I was pretty impressed with the way the boys came out. We knew that Grand was kind of closing the gap in on us. We had about a 30-some-odd stroke lead going into the region championship in Morgan. And the boys knew that they needed to shoot. I told them around a 340, and they came in just under that. And that was just enough to hold on to that second-place spot. So I was very impressed with the way they played yesterday.
Yeah, Coach, well, the way it works, I mean, really, there's no, dare I say, there's really no great advantage to winning a region championship anymore. And so when you start putting things together, is it basically just goals for the boys? I know that sounds bad to say. There's really no reason to win a region championship. But the way that they take the qualifying teams in a state, I mean, a region title, it's been diminished a little bit. At least that's my thought.
It definitely has. I mean, I think it's a bit of a confidence booster for the team. Richfield, for example, I thought they played extremely well this year. It's definitely good to have that feeling going into the state championship. But when it comes down to it, you just need to get the boys shooting around that 320 to 330 range, knowing that if they play there, going into the first day at Round Valley, that they're going to qualify for the second day. And I've kind of had an opportunity. We got the scores the other day from Region 13 and 14. And as far as I can tell, that's kind of the number to hit again this year.
Coach, looking at the way the boys played, I mean, we'll talk about the individual scores. Bodie Salas, to no surprise at all, shoots a 72. Darren Gardner, an 87. Brandon Scoville, an 87. Kyler Clark, I believe, came in with a 4-score with a 91, if memory serves me right. So you start to look at the way these boys are playing at this late in the season. Where does the improvement need to come from, and where do those three second, third, and fourth scores need to be for you guys to compete for a top three spot at state?
You know, the difficult thing is we always have a few kids who have a couple holes that just kind of throws their round from maybe a mid to low 80 to the low 90s right in there. I would love to have another guy on the team, and I know we have the potential there to throw up another number in the 70s because it makes it so easy. Grand, for example, They have Wyatt Toney and Rafe Saunders, both great players. They had awesome scoring averages throughout the year. When you can take two low 70s, you can throw in a couple 90s and still shoot a 320, which is a great score. That's enough to make it to the second day of state. So if I could just have these boys collectively bring down their numbers, or have one kid really step up and throw up a number in the 70s, we'd be there easily for the second day of state.
And obviously right now that's the goal, right? I mean, you can't win a state championship on day one. You can inevitably lose it if you don't qualify for the second day. You can't win.
Yeah, and there's going to be some stiff competition going into Round Valley. Of course, Morgan from Region 13 had the lowest stroke average this year of a 305, which is awesome. I mean, those are great numbers. They probably have one of the top two or three kids in 3A on their team. So they also have kind of that home course advantage, which is going to make it difficult for these other teams to go in there and play well. But, you know, kind of combing over the stroke averages from these other regions, there's no reason that the Carbon boys can come in and throw up two rounds of a 320 and take a top five easily. So,
again, our guest right now is Coach Robbie Etzel, again, of the Carbon High School golf team, as we continue to talk about the 2020 season, which now has reached close to its end point as we prepare for the state championship tournament. So, Coach, we got to talk about Bodie Salas. He wins region. He wins it by a very large margin. Again, it's not a surprise. We look at these scores. We talk about Bodie each week. But, boy, to have a sophomore dominate the region in this kind of manner, it's impressive.
And it really is. Oftentimes, I kind of have my hands full trying to keep the number two spot through about the number four or five spot under control, trying to get an idea of where we're going to come in with their scores. I wasn't too sure how well he was playing the other day. Sadly, one of the only holes that I got to watch him on, he made a double on a par three, so that was kind of rough. I could tell that he was struggling a little bit down the stretch. So I was ecstatic to come into the clubhouse and see that he shot even par on that course. We talked afterwards, easily could have put up a solid round in probably the 68 range, right around there. But he just comes out there and plays his game and just throws up consistently great scores every week, and that's what you need if you want a chance at an individual state championship or a state championship on the team level as well.
So, Coach, going again back over his numbers throughout the entire season, and when you look at the real lengthy advantage that he took over second place, I mean, Bodie finishes with a 509, Wyatt Toney of Grand is second at a 535, followed by Keaton Anderson of Richfield with a 544. Knowing that Bodie's only a sophomore, is it fair to say we go forward to his junior year, he's going to be in the 400s? That's incredible to think about, but is that possible?
I would say that's highly likely. He took a couple scores this year that I'm sure he was a little upset about. I know in Grand, he had the opportunity to probably throw up another even par round or, you know, shoot a couple under, and I think he took a 79. He also shot a 77 at Emory, and we had played there plenty of practice rounds leading up to our tournament, and he played incredible. So coming down the stretch, our last few matches, he's left a lot of strokes out there. I wouldn't be a bit surprised. He brings that 509 probably down into the 490s, if not lower.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible to think about. Outside of Bodie, Darren Gardner, Brandon Scoville, both of these kids shooting 87s again at the region championship. And, Coach, when you look at their improvement, those are two very reliable as far as that number two, number three score. They've been consistent throughout the year for you in that regard. What are these boys capable of shooting, and what do they need to get down to here relatively soon as we prepare for the state championship?
You know, I think we only have a week, which is kind of a quick turnaround again for the state championship, but easily each of those kids could shave five strokes off. I think collectively as a team, we're still struggling around the greens, especially when you're traveling to a course that you don't have an opportunity to play a lot. You're not used to the roll that you're going to get on some of these greens, the break of these greens, how the ball's going to come out of the rough. So we definitely need to work on that this week and go play a couple practice rounds up again in Round Valley. But I think the boys, I've told them this all year, they have the opportunity to shoot a 320 every week. They have the talent on the team. It's just getting those numbers down and keeping them down where they should be. So, but down the stretch, Darren and Brandon were really clutch, especially last week at our match at Emory. I kind of talked about only having a small lead over Grand for that second place spot, which automatically would get us into the state championship. And had it not been for both of those kids really working on their swings going into Emory, we could have been neck and neck with Grand going into Round Valley, which would have made it a lot more stressful for the boys. So I got to give kind of a big thank you to those kids coming down the stretch. They definitely made these last couple weeks a little easier for me as a coach, and a little easier for the rest of the kids on the team.
And we can end with this, Coach. You do have about a week and a half left before you guys will travel to the state championship. How do you handle that at practice? I mean, obviously you want to make sure that the kids understand the moment, but at the same time, you don't want to be in stress balls as they go into the state championship as well. So how do you handle practice?
I think we kind of break down Round Valley hole by hole, see where we're struggling as a group, and then practice on the parts of our game that are causing us to take larger numbers than we should on a couple holes. I know for a fact that there are several holes on that course that have a tendency to get some of our younger kids in trouble. It definitely plays very similar to Carbon, so I think that is to our advantage going into next week. But more often than not, I think it's just ball striking. If you can go into the state tournament and feel confident about your swing and feel confident that you can approach every tee box, every hole, and hit the ball well, and know you have an opportunity to shoot a good round, that's all I can ask for from these boys.
Well, Coach, it's definitely a pleasure once again to get you on to talk a little bit about the team. Best of luck as you guys prepare for state, and hopefully we can catch up again one more time to kind of recap the entire season.
Yep, you bet, Jordan. Always a pleasure.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. When we return, we'll talk Major League Baseball. Three games already today, one coming up tonight, the Yankees and the Indians. That's interesting. We'll talk about that when we return right here on Drive Time Sports.
Pitch to Bellinger. He swings and he hits a high fly ball right center field. This ball's gone!
Now a 3-1 for Acuna. Swinging a high fly ball! Deep to left field! Way, way back! It's gone!
Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Playoff baseball galore is going on right now. One game taking place as we speak between the Blue Jays and the Rays. We've had two already come to an end this morning, and now we're gearing up for the fourth and final game of the evening, which will take place at 5 o'clock as the Yankees take on the Cleveland Indians. Now, do not forget the wild card round is the only round where the higher seeds have home field. So the Yankees are on the road to take on the Cleveland Indians. Tomorrow morning, we'll have baseball action again throughout the entire day, starting at 10 a.m. It's a perfect day to play hooky from work or school because you have baseball literally all day. You can sit and watch eight baseball games beginning at 10 a.m., and they'll go till 8 p.m. tomorrow when the Dodgers take on the Brewers. We're going to talk playoff baseball right now with a great friend of mine, great friend of the show, Steve Bordstein. And Steve, you've joined us all year to talk Major League Baseball. We have to keep that tradition rolling now that the playoffs, the weird playoffs of 2020 are off and rolling.
The weird playoffs, which now cap off the weird regular season, and now what figures to be an even more unique and weird postseason. But I'm looking forward to it. It's been some great games so far today. Like you mentioned, tomorrow is like baseball's version of March Madness. Take a day off from work and just sit back because it's going to be a wild first round, I think.
I agree with you. I agree wholeheartedly. And we talked about this on the show yesterday, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time rehashing it, but it's asinine to me that we have a team that goes 43-17 over a 60-game season, and they will not have home field at all during this postseason. It's something that's going to take, well, I guess you can't say it at all once you get past the wild card round, but that's going to take some getting used to, Steve, going to the eight playoff teams. I still don't believe I'm a big fan of it. I like the idea that you have to work to get into the postseason, but anything this year has been unconventional, right? This year's been anything but conventional, so I guess it makes sense. Now we have best 2 out of 3 series, so what is the most intriguing to you?
Well, let's start with the game that's coming up in a little bit, and that's the Yankees and Indians. And I say this is an intriguing series because the Yankees were sort of that patchwork team that when they came into this season, it was, again, oh, my God, look at how loaded they are. Stanton, Judge, you know, Luke Voit, they had that roster. Okay, but then piece by piece, we started to see injuries and we started to see some flaws, and then guys were coming back. I think Cleveland has quietly put together one of the more consistent seasons, and it starts with their starting pitching. And I think this game today coming up here is going to tell the tale of how far the Yankees may or may not go in this American League postseason. Against right-handed pitching, they've been suspect. The Indians have a great lineup as far as their starting pitching is concerned. I think this is a very intriguing matchup coming up tonight with the Indians and Yankees. And I would not be at all surprised to see Shane Bieber, who is, I mean, arguably, the. I mean, I don't think it's arguable right now, is your American League Cy Young winner. I would not be at all surprised to see Cleveland come out of this series and move on to the next round.
Yeah, look, here's the thing that is so interesting to me about the Yankees. It's a team that, as you mentioned, we looked at and we said, wow. Then you go back about 3 weeks ago, we didn't even know if they would be in the playoffs. Yet they found a way to get here, and that's when they're dangerous. Nobody in Major League Baseball, maybe outside of the Dodgers, can hit the long ball as well as the Yankees. There's nobody in the American League that can outscore this team. In order for the Yankees to top the Indians 2 out of the next 3 games, it's simple, Steve. They are going to have to hit the long ball. I think it's that simple. When you look at what they have, the starters, I mean, outside of Gerrit Cole, he's been quiet but dominant. I know that's really it's really tough to say, right? It's probably confusing to say, but it hasn't been anything that we've looked at and said, wow. But he's been very good. Once you get past Gerrit Cole, this is a team that's going to have to outscore squads, and I don't know if you can do that in a best 2 out of 3 set.
And I don't know if you can, and I agree with that. And I think, you know, we mentioned Luke Voit, we mentioned, you know, Aaron Judge and Stanton. How big a factor does DJ LeMahieu have to be in this series? And again, 364 batting average this year. He put together an incredible campaign, but he has to be at the top of his game now. And I, you know, again, you got to outscore Cleveland. You got to be able to get runs on that board. And if you're facing Shane Bieber and he's continuing to do what he's done throughout the course of this season, that's going to be a tough task, because he has been nothing short of remarkable all season long.
Yeah, you talk about Shane Bieber being the American League Cy Young. If it wasn't for DJ LeMahieu missing, I think it was 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, in a condensed 60-game season, there's no doubt he's your AL MVP. And I think that's another storyline that can't be ignored, right? A potential AL Cy Young against a guy that would have won the MVP had he not landed on the IR for a couple of weeks.
No question about it. 8-1 record for Bieber, 1.63 ERA. I mean, 122 strikeouts. But this guy's just been phenomenal. So I think that series to me is the most intriguing on the American League side of things. And I think, you know, going over to the most intriguing series, over on the National League side of things, I'm looking at that St. Louis-San Diego series. We know what St. Louis does as you get into the postseason. They always seem to turn it on late in the year. San Diego's pitching staff with LeMay and now Clevinger kind of dealing with some injury issues right now. Doesn't San Diego, and I know it's feast or famine for them, right? Because they're either great or they're out in the first round. To me, that's an intriguing series to me, because if LeMay and Clevinger aren't 100%, St. Louis is a team you do not want to overlook, I think, in the first round.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting matchup for San Diego from the standpoint of, I still believe they're a year behind, a year ahead. Let's say they're a year ahead of schedule, right? So when you look at St. Louis, it's a team we talk about every year about being sneaky good. Don't forget, this team was in the National League Championship just a year ago. Somehow, some way, they got there. They got ran when they got there, but they managed to put themselves in that position. It almost feels like it could be that big stepping stone, right, for San Diego to become legitimate. If they can get past the Cardinals, and if they can do it in somewhat convincing fashion without LeMay and without Clevinger, then I'm going to look at the San Diego Padre team as a true threat in the National League.
I agree, and I think that's going to be that. To me, is the intriguing series to me over the National League side is how far can they go if, in fact, those pitchers aren't 100% and aren't at their best. And if they're at their best, then all bets are off. But I think that's going to be the intriguing series to me over on the National League side of things. And I think you look at that Cincinnati Atlanta series. I mean, Atlanta scores a lot of runs. Cincinnati's got great pitching. It'll all depend on what Trevor Bauer can do in that game one tomorrow.
Again, Steve Bortstein, our guest right now as we preview the Major League Baseball playoffs. Off and rolling right now, but tomorrow we have 8 games, including all 4 in the National League. Let's stick with the Reds and the Braves for a moment. You mentioned Trevor Bauer. He would be my pick for the NL Cy Young. I think you can give Yu Darvish maybe a little bit of name play, but look, I'm not going to, at any point in time, sit here and attempt to push the name of Yu Darvish, right? Give it to Trevor Bauer as far as I'm concerned. But when you look at Cincinnati, I don't know if there's a more dangerous team in the National League for a best 2 out of 3 set, knowing who you have to face games 1, 2, and 3, knowing that they're a seven seed, Steve.
Right. No, I agree with you completely on that. Eugenio Suarez, Joey Votto, these guys are proven. They've been proven all season long. But over on the Braves side, look, they hit a lot of home runs. They score a lot of runs. Obviously, you know, they've been remarkable, and they've also been kind of hit and miss. And I just wonder about, you know, them being another team that might be in that same category as San Diego. Like, they're a year ahead of themselves. They're just a little bit ahead of the game right now. No question. Freddie Freeman, I think he's probably your National League MVP. You can throw a couple of names from the Dodgers into consideration. We'll get to them here in a bit. But, I mean, he's put together an amazing season. Marcelo Zuna with the RBI numbers, he's been phenomenal this year. So I think that's an intriguing series. But again, you got to win game one. That's going to be the most pivotal thing for today and tomorrow. And it seems obvious to say that, obviously. But game one, how pivotal is that for every one of these teams with those very high, lofty expectations?
Yeah, it's amazing to me, right? If you lose game one, you're the Atlanta Braves. You have the second best record in baseball in this wacky season. And if you don't get past Trevor Bauer in game one, your season is going to be on the line with 2 straight wins. That's amazing to me. That's why I don't like the opening round of the playoffs.
Yeah, the opening round is going to be the most intriguing one of all. And I mean, yeah, home field advantage, you would think in any other situation would be fine, but there's no fans, there's no craziness. So there's going to be some intriguing results coming up the next 24 to 48 hours.
Let's talk Marlins Cubs. Are you the mindset that the Marlins could actually upset the Cubs? I mean, it's the feel-good story of the season to begin with, especially with everything that happened as far as COVID was concerned early on. It was the Marlins and the Cardinals. We didn't know if these guys would ever even get to play. Now they're in the playoffs and they get the Chicago Cubs at Wrigley tomorrow.
Right, and that's been the story, isn't it? This is, you know, the Marlins and the Cardinals, they lost all these games, they played these 7-inning games, and I think, isn't the 7-inning thing the most intriguing factor of all? Because they've had to utilize bullpen staff, they've had to utilize, you know, creative ways to do pitching, both of those teams, and I think that might actually help them, is knowing how to use a bullpen and knowing the emergency of it. So I think the Marlins are another one of those teams, might be a year or so away. The Cubs are a fascinating story to me because John Lester, at the beginning of the season, you and I talked about him early on this season, just how remarkable he was. Then he kind of came back to earth a little bit. But I think this is going to be fun. I mean, when you look at the pitching matchups, Chicago's 2 possible game one starters have a combined age of 64. That's how old that team is. For Miami, the number's 49. I mean, that's a pretty remarkable stat when you think about the age differences between these two teams. So the Marlins are a fun story. I don't think they'll win this series. I think the Cubs will move on. But I do think that the Marlins are a fun story just from what they've had to go through this whole season.
All right, let's talk Dodgers. Dodgers-Brewers, this is one of those series that when you look at it on paper, boy, it should be an easy 2-game pickup for the Dodgers. I don't trust anything that the Brewers have as far as pitching in this series. I would expect the Dodgers to pick up games 1 and 2, and I would expect them to do it by wowing us with offense, giving us the idea that when this team goes into the second round, they may be unbeatable. I don't believe they're unbeatable, but Steve, I would expect the Dodgers to dominate in a way that we look at round 2 and thinking, wow, who's going to top this team?
So full disclosure, for those of you who are not familiar with our segments, when Jordan and I get together here, we are both, you know, unashamed Dodgers fanatics, so just know that going in. This team is unbeatable. There is not a single flaw, with the exception of Kenley Jansen with a one-run lead in the ninth inning. That's the only thing that makes me worried about this Dodgers team going into this postseason. But I just go back to the last three games. Two of the last three games they played against the Angels, a team that pretty much had nothing to play for anyway. Their chances of making the playoffs were pretty limited anyway. They swept the three-game series, but in the first two games of that series, they were trailing both times. There is no lead big enough for an opposing team against the Dodgers. This is a team with the highest run differential in Major League Baseball. This is a team that's given up the fewest runs in Major League Baseball. And they did all of this with Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy having horrible seasons for all intents and purposes. So when you look at that, and then you take into consideration the guys who did step up. A.J. Pollock, who you and I both talked about as kind of being that free agent bust that maybe, how's that going to work out? And you see the job that Will Smith, who's become one of the best offensive catchers in the National League right now. I don't see a flaw here. And even if I'm just going to get, and you and I talked about this privately the other day about maybe the decision to put Buehler as the game one starter, I only need him for five innings. I don't need him to go nine innings. I need him to go five. Because then you get to that bullpen, and that bullpen saves the Kenley Jansen theatrics that we go through the ninth inning half the time. That bullpen is unstoppable. So I don't see a flaw here, and even if the Brewers get out and get a two-one run lead early on in the game, one or two, do you not believe for a moment that the Dodgers can just turn that around with a couple of base hits? Mookie Betts has been phenomenal this season, and I mean, you look at some of the performances, Corey Seager, what he's done this year, Chris Taylor, underrated, what he's done this season, Justin Turner, when he's been healthy, has been on fire this season. There's just no flaw here, and this is, I think, the most perfect team to get behind, and maybe the most perfect Dodgers team we've seen assembled in this last few years, where they were one of the perennial favorites each year to get to the World Series.
Yeah, I go back to 2017, and you know what 2017 was missing? It was missing Mookie Betts. I mean, honestly, that team, the way it was constructed to me, was as close to perfect as you could get. I know they didn't win a World Series. We don't need to go down that route once again as to what happened in 2017. But the subtraction of Yasiel Puig and the addition of Mookie Betts, and you have a perfect team in 2017. So it's hard to disagree when you say that over the last 4 years, this is not the most perfect team that they put together. It's hard to disagree, Steve. I mean, yeah, I think it is.
I mean, just look at what they... And again, I say the most perfect team simply because... If Cody Bellinger was putting up 2019 numbers in 2020, would we even be talking about the Milwaukee Brewers right now? If Cody Bellinger and Max Muncy were putting together the kind of seasons that we saw from them last year, we'd be laughing right now. So, and the fact that Bellinger and the Dodgers are only going to face maybe one legitimate left-handed starter, right, this entire postseason, that's always been the Achilles heel, with their ability against left-handed starters. The Dodgers aren't even going to face a legitimate left-handed starter for much of this postseason. So to me, everything falls into place. Now, that also comes with consequences, because if they don't get it done this year, I have no logical explanation for it. I can make a logical explanation because the Nationals were red hot when they got to the postseason last year, and they took advantage of an ability with left-handed starters last year at Scherzer, and they took advantage of the Dodgers last year. They used that to catapult themselves to a World Series championship. There's nothing standing in this team's way. There is absolutely nothing standing in this team's way of winning a World Series. And it's ironic that you are now the not so pessimistic, but you're more pessimistic about it than I am. And usually I'm the pessimistic one going into the postseason. Usually I'm the one that's like, oh, there's a flaw here, there's a flaw there. I still don't necessarily trust Kenley Jansen in the ninth inning with a two-run lead and a runner on. I don't trust him in that situation completely, but I know they have options. I know that Gratterall is an option there. I know that Baez is an option there. They've got guys there. This is the most perfect team they've put together. There are no excuses if they don't win the World Series this year.
So are they your World Series champs?
They are my World Series champions, and I don't think it's close, to be quite honest with you. This is the most confident I have ever felt about a Dodgers team since 2017. This is the most confident I've ever felt.
Steve Bordstein, again, our guest, as we talk Major League Baseball. Steve, I always look forward to the conversations. I hope you were right, my friend, because, well, I've waited my entire life. See, Steve's a little bit older than me. He has seen the Dodgers win a World Series championship. I've waited my entire life. I hope you're correct. Steve, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more Steve Bordstein.
Steve Bordstein on Twitter at Radio Durango SB. I appreciate that very much. My question to you is, who will they play in the World Series?
Oakland. I've been on the Oakland bandwagon all year long. Give me the Dodgers and the A's. I think that's what we get in the World Series.
I'm gonna say Dodgers Rays. The two best bullpens, arguably two of the better pitching staffs. I'm gonna go Dodgers Rays. Dodgers win the World Series, and we can finally rest easy at night then.
Steve, I look forward to more conversations in the very near future. Thank you again for the time today.
Anytime, my friend. Thank you.
We're gonna break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return.
Hey, let's get back to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on 750 AM KOAL.
Two finals earlier today. Again, the Astros topping the Twins 4-1. White Sox over the A's 4-1. And right now, Tampa Bay leading Toronto 1-0. That one going into the sixth inning. I want to end today's show by talking NFL. I feel like with everything that's going on, we haven't had a lot of time to really dig deep and talk about the NFL. I mean, the NBA finals are getting ready to start. College football, I feel like, is even taking a backseat because of the NBA or because of the Major League Baseball playoffs. And Travis, it's week four, soon to be week four of the NFL season.
It's flying by, right?
It's flying by. And like I said, there's so much other stuff going on right now. I feel like the NFL really isn't front and center in the middle of the week. It is, of course, on the weekends, but in the middle of the week, I just don't feel like it's front and center. Week three ends last night. I thought it was can't-miss football. Kansas City and Baltimore turned out to be anything but that. It was not the high-scoring affair that a lot of people had predicted. I know you liked Baltimore because they were at home. The bottom line is the Ravens have a task to climb, and that task is the Kansas City Chiefs. They're still the top dog in the AFC. They're still the top dog in the NFL. 3-0 now, Kansas City has put up 91 points. There's only two other teams in the AFC that have put up 91 or more. That's Baltimore and Buffalo. So who's the top dog in your mind in the AFC?
No, it's Kansas City because of Patrick Mahomes. What he did last night was incredible, and that guy is continuing to get better. Until you can slow Patrick Mahomes down, until you can prove that you can beat the Chiefs, that's the team to beat.
Okay, let's talk about Buffalo, though. 93 points, is what they've scored. Josh Allen so far this year, 3-0. He's completed 71% of his passes, 10 touchdowns, 1 interception, 8 sacks. His QBR is an 88.7. Now, when I mentioned his one interception, it was a highly disputable one against the Rams on Sunday when John Johnson came down and happened to wrestle the ball away on the ground from the receiver. You thought it was a pick?
That's a pick.
It could have
won either way. The defender has the right to the ball as well, and I don't like the fact that, well, they say the offensive player gets the right to the ball most of the time. Why?
Okay, that's fair. Regardless, his touchdown to interception ratio at this point in time is 10-1, and he's been sacked 8 times because he can maneuver outside of the pocket, and that's important to mention as well. This kid is good.
Yeah, everybody was, when they made that pick, not a lot of people were high on it. They said, well, he played at Wyoming, this and that, and this and that. The kid's special, and Buffalo absolutely hit a home run with it, and I think we all, you know, me and you both, you know, thought Buffalo was going to win this division, so right on cue, Buffalo's, you know, right there, and they're going to be a force to, you know, play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think a lot of people in this area were high on that pick just because we all got a chance to watch Josh Allen. We saw the raw talent, right? If you watched Wyoming football at all.
Yeah, he has a cannon. We knew that.
Yeah. So basically, it's just honing in the accuracy, and he's there at this particular time. It's getting there. I mean, big improvements from last year. There are two other undefeated teams now in the AFC, Tennessee and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of Tennessee or Pittsburgh. Tennessee finds ways to win. It's not pretty. I mean, it's really ugly, but it's 3-0. And Pittsburgh, I don't know if I can buy into Pittsburgh yet.
They're not the best team in the AFC North. The best team in the North is still the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
It is. But the Steelers have done exactly what they needed to do up to this point in time. They have won both games. Now, you go to the NFC, couple of unbeaten teams left, 3 to be exact. We have the Packers, the Bears, and the Seahawks. The Bears are not legit. I don't care what anyone says. The Bears are not legit. I said last week they were the least legit 2-0 squad, and now they have to go to Nick Foles. Nick Foles leads a miraculous comeback against a helpless Atlanta Falcon team. It's fool's gold. Do not buy into the Chicago Bears.
No.
I'm telling you, do not buy into this team.
You can't. I'm with you. Chicago's fool's gold. And once we start getting into what, you know, they start playing Green Bay is the world, and those top tier teams, they're going to lose. They're going to fall back down. This team will not make the playoffs.
Seattle, they're good.
Yeah, they're legit. And Russell Wilson's probably the best player in football right now. Outside of Aaron Donald. Those two.
Yeah. Pick one on offense, pick one on defense, because they can affect the game differently. Aaron Donald single-handedly put the Rams in position to beat the Buffalo Bills on Sunday with a couple of plays that he made defensively that were just jaw-dropping. But Russell Wilson does it more frequently during a game because he touches the ball a whole lot more. This guy is really that good. And outside of that, you're starting to see some division races come to fruition. For instance, we knew the West was going to be just a dogfight, right?
Look at
that Seahawks.
Thing.
The Seahawks are 3-0. Cardinals, Rams, Niners, 2-1.
That's a brutal loss the Cardinals had. You can't lose to the Lions. So when it's all said, I don't expect Arizona to hang around. I think that's a 6-7 win team, but for now, they're up there.
All right, worst division in football, NFC East, no question. Redskins, Cowboys, both 1-2. Eagles, 0-2-1. Giants, 0-3. It's a horrible division. And the Cowboys will win that division by default.
Yeah. I'm with you, yeah. Dallas has so much talent at 1-2. But man, Giants stink, Eagles stink, and the Redskins stink.
We can end with this, and again, we are running out of time. We can talk about it more in depth later on in the week. Are you concerned with the Saints?
Yes.
Drew Brees, Sean Payton, now they're 1-2. I mean, you look over the last couple of weeks, they haven't been impressive. A loss to the Raiders, now a loss to the Packers. High-scoring affairs. You're concerned?
Yeah, differential of -6. Defensively, they can't get off the field. That division is Tampa Bay's to lose.
Out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. Wish we had more time. One of those periods in sports. We go from not having anything to talk about to not having enough time. But we'll be back to do it again tomorrow. We'll also talk NBA basketball game one of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.